You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Okay, today, we're down to the third installment of our series called Here and Now. This is all about the kingdom of God. Perhaps you've heard of this statement before, or you've heard of people talk about it before. You know, I'm all for the kingdom of God, or let's advance the kingdom of God. Maybe for the longest time, if you're here in Victory, you've heard of it. This is what this whole series is all about, for us to have a clear grasp of what the kingdom of God is, and for us to have a kingdom-mindedness. Now, if there is a kingdom of God, and if we're Christians, we are part of the kingdom of God, what are we supposed to do? How are we to live our lives being part of God's kingdom? Now, when we started this series about 2 weeks ago, we got to know that the most basic definition of the kingdom of God is that it is the rule and reign of God as an expression of His sovereign will. Meaning, wherever there are people, may it be here in the Philippines, in another nation, like, you know, in the States, in Australia, in Europe, wherever, as long as there are people who honor God, who love God, who worship God, who walk with God, then His rule and reign is there and it is present there. In other words, the kingdom of God is not limited or bound to earthly borders. You know, like kung Philippines, kabalota asa tama ng ang scope sa Philippines, na area of responsibility and all those things. But the kingdom of God goes beyond borders. Wherever there are people who honor God, who love God, He is there. In fact, if not a church in the future, sa moon or sa Mars, then the kingdom of God is there as well. Okay, malay nato, you'll be part of that, okay? Malay nato, if may kabakabot na na. Now, for us to know more of what the kingdom of God is, over the past few weeks, we've been going through the parables. Okay, the ones that Jesus taught. And a parable, a good way to describe a parable is that it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus had often used these parables basically to teach people whenever He would do ministry, okay, whenever He had to explain something, para magets nila, He would use a parable. And a parable is basically an analogy. Jesus would use seemingly simple, ordinary experiences that the people would automatically understand and they would get what Jesus is trying to teach to them. So for the past few weeks, we've talked about different parables. The parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed. And for our third week naman, we're going to talk about two parables. And that is the hidden treasure and the pearl. The parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. So if you have your Bibles with you, can you turn them to Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. It says here in verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So much like last week, okay, we're talking about two parables that are closely tied together with a common theme. Even though they're two different stories, they are pretty much connected. Para siyang perfect pair, okay, like peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, jumping straight to the first parable, we're going to look at it one at a time. In verse 44, it says here, "The kingdom of heaven," which is again the kingdom of God, "is like treasure hidden in a field." Now, when you're reading through this parable, perhaps for some of us, I'm going to think nato, "Uy, muram na ito mga pirates sa bedtime stories nato sa una, or sa mga movies, when they would bury treasure or when they would try to find treasure. Kung asang ex-gibutang sa mapa and all of that." And it seems a pretty far-fetched or fantastical element in the Bible. But in fact, burying something of value, something of wealth or treasure in your land was in fact a common practice at the time, sa panahon ni Jesus. Remember, all His parables were something that people would automatically be able to relate and understand. Meaning, this was practice. Nowadays, whenever we would save money, okay, kung namoy sweldo, i-save ninyo, we would put it in what? In banks. We would put it in bonds, securities, real estate, and all of these things. But in their time, in their culture, there were no big banks or institutions like this bank. Wala pa kayo secured place to keep your wealth. Okay, the money lenders, the money changers, and their time were more of pang temple duties sila. So like if you're gonna buy a sacrifice for the temple or something like that, they didn't have any big storage areas. So if you were to store something of value, you know, in their time, what you could do, the best thing that you could do was in fact to bury it someplace. Okay, most likely sa own yard nimo, okay, in your backyard or sa front yard nimo. That's what they did before because it was the safest place to put. And take note, in their time, in their culture, war could happen at any time. another nation would come and, you know, conquer them. That could happen. That's why they would often hide their wealth on land. Now, this parable says here that the kingdom of heaven, going back to the parable, is like treasure hidden in a field. But it's not just directly the treasure hidden in a field. That's the kingdom of God. Okay, unlike our previous parables that compared it directly to an object. In fact, the kingdom of heaven is basically compared to this whole parable. Okay, it says here, basically, it's the whole thing. The kingdom of God is not just this one line right here. It is the entirety of this parable. Now, it's this man who found treasure on a field. Then after that, when he discovered it, he covered it up naman. And then he tried to buy the field so he could acquire the treasure which he found. That's the whole picture of what the kingdom of God is compared to. Moving on with the story about this particular parable, important question is, what is this parable all about? Talking about finding treasure. Unsa ba siya about? If there's this common theme between this one and the next parable. This parable is basically all about the value of the kingdom of God. If in the first week we talked about the nature of the kingdom of God, you know, how it started, where it is now in its present state, and the future, okay, at the end of the age. So second week naman, we talked about the growth of the kingdom of God and how it grows, how it transforms the lives of the people. This week talks about the value, the importance of the kingdom of God. Because maybe you've heard of it, parang, okay, munang kingdom of God. But we need to understand of its immense value. And take note, in this story, the man who discovers treasure, munang ginacompare ng kingdom of God, how valuable is it? It's valuable enough then that this person, it says here, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. What they discovered gave him such joy. This person was so overjoyed, he knew the value of it so much that he was willing to buy that field with all that he had. Okay, it didn't say with a certain amount lang, but it says with all that he had. Now the big question is, why did he need to buy the field? You know, I was reading through this, parang, oh, di niya keep ng treasure lang. So napad niya yung possessions, napad niya yung wealth, current na niya, and then ma-add pa sa treasure. Why did he need to buy the field? Well, just to have a clear perspective on this parable, in their time, their culture, if you found something in another person's yard or land, even if ikaw nakita na, that's not yours. Okay? It still belongs to the landowner. So in this story, because this man had to buy it, means he found it in another person's land. He couldn't just claim it for himself. Okay? Illegal na sa panahon nila. So he needed to buy that land for him to legally acquire the treasure. Even though, as stated in this story, that he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Can you imagine that? This guy was willing to buy all that, willing to give or sell all that he had just to acquire this treasure. Meaning, what he currently has is nothing compared to the value of this treasure that he found. To the point nga, ang joy na kuha niya ng treasure is nothing compared to the joy that he would get from what he presently has. He's willing to trade it off for this treasure. In other words, the kingdom of God is a treasure of incomparable value. When you say incomparable, dili siya makompare nimo, like layo ra jud kayo. Diba? If you have something favorite nga food, doesn't matter if it's made by someone, it's incomparable. There are certain things in life na para nato incomparable. Dili mumat siya ani. Now, the kingdom of God is a treasure of incomparable value that we would be willing to give up everything in order to see and experience it. That's how valuable the kingdom of God is. That is compared to this story of one man willing to sell everything to attain it. Now, if we have, you know, any financial consultant friends, you know, that they will tell you that this is a crazy move. You're not supposed to put your eggs in one basket or put all your money in one place lang. You need to diversify and all of those things. But in this story, we get to see na in anak importante ang nakita niya. To the point na even if he traded off everything else, he would still be better off with what he found when he bought that land and acquired the treasure. He knew the value of what he has. Now, talking about the kingdom of God, do we know how valuable it is? Do we know how valuable the kingdom of God is? Do we know how privileged we are that we get to be part of the kingdom of God? Or is it something we don't really value, don't really care? This isn't the first time that we came across a story of someone who had an option to either embrace or pursue the kingdom of God or not. To either sell all you have and receive the kingdom of God or just keep what you have and not receive the kingdom of God. There's this story in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21 to 22. It says here, this is a time when Jesus was doing ministry. And one person approached him, a young man, and he said, Master or teacher, what must I do to attain eternal life? And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, because the young man had told him, I did all of these things now. I'm doing good works. And I'm going to get a boat now. Jesus answered him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. So there's a parallel here. There's a similarity here with our current parable. But unlike the man who found treasure and responded by selling all that he had to acquire that treasure, what did this young man do when he heard Jesus' words? It says here in verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. In our first story, there was joy upon finding, discovering this treasure, sold all that he had and acquired it. On this particular story, when being offered the kingdom of God, being offered to follow Jesus, be with him, ang response was sadness. Ang response was unwillingness to sell what he had, to give up what he had. At that context, he didn't do it. What was the difference? This man valued worldly riches over the kingdom of God. He didn't see that mas importante pa ang kingdom of God, ang being with Jesus over what he presently had. He couldn't see it. And just to qualify as well, as we continue with this parable, I am not saying that we can buy our way into the kingdom of God. By no means. We cannot tell God, Lord, ako lang gibligit tanan, so therefore saved na ako. Therefore forgiven ako ng sins, Lord, because I sold all that I have. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't buy your way into the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying that after this, okay, pag uli ninyo, mutawag ka si mama, ma, ibaligin ang balay na ito, ma. Okay, balikin ang auto, ma. Muna nang learn ako sa preaching. No, I'm not saying that you literally go home and empty your house, okay? But what we can learn here in this principle, basically, is that if we're talking about values, when you're putting importance from one thing over the other, the choice is the kingdom of God or worldly riches and worldly pleasures. That's the choice right here. If we know of the value of God's kingdom that was started by Jesus, you know, walking with Jesus, loving God, honoring God, living for Him. If we know the value of His kingdom over the things that the world is offering us, the pleasures of the world, the temptations of the world, if we know the value of the kingdom of God, then we will choose it and rejoice with it and not be sad choosing it and letting go of the offers that the world is trying to tempt us with. That's what this whole parable is showing us of the value of the kingdom of God. And it's so valuable that nothing in the world, no offer that comes from the world will come close to rivaling the importance, the value, and the joy that comes from the kingdom of God. In fact, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16 says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. It says here, do not love this world. I'm not saying you don't appreciate what's in the world. It's not that. Yes, by all means, appreciate the creation that God created. But what he's saying here is, basically, don't be worldly. Don't embrace worldliness. Meaning, what's most valuable to you should not be the pursuits of this world. It says here in verse 16, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. In other words, if you want to know if you're valuing God's kingdom or love of the world ang nagalabaw sa heart nimo, assess yourself with these things. Are you pursuing? Are you craving all the time for physical pleasure? Ang number one ginapastin mo, food, pleasure for yourself. It says here, craving for everything that we see. Entertainment. Things that we want to see. Even things that are not honoring kang God. And what's about pride in our achievements and possessions? Are we running after achievements and possessions over the kingdom of God? These are some things that we can use to assess ourselves. Are we valuing God's kingdom or are we running after the world? Are we loving the world? These are not from the Father but are from this world. In other words, church, if we want the kingdom, there is no minimizing of the cost. There is a cost to embracing, to having the kingdom of God, to being part of the kingdom of God. And what is the cost? Everything. This parable shows us that man was willing to give up everything to acquire, to experience that treasure, which speaks about the kingdom of God. Now, when you hear that statement, everything, it's a big deal. It's a big ask to pretty much give all of our lives for the kingdom of God. But if we want to be able to do so, good thing naman, na ay second parable. Okay, the second parable all the more encourages us that even though the kingdom of God demands everything, it is worth everything. That's how valuable it is. Matthew 13 verse 45 says here, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Now, when you see the word merchant, it comes from the Greek word emporo. And merchants in their time, what they would do is that they would travel from place to place and buy and acquire things and sell them. So in other words, parang ancient buy and sell sila. Okay? Wala lang internet that time. So they would go from place to place depending on sa specialty nila, whether that be textiles, pottery, weapons, or whatever kind of items. They would buy things and sell things. Now, this particular merchant is in search of fine pearls. So he would pretty much go to different places and seek out things or pearls that are valuable. And this merchant, okay, going back to the story, is in search of fine pearls, which comes from an oyster, but delicia always perfectly round in its natural state. But this guy, who on finding one great pearl, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He found a pearl, but this guy was willing to sell all that he had, much like the first parable, just to acquire that pearl, because he searched for pearls that were of value. However accidental or intentional the search is or was, there is but one response. Much like the first parable, sold all that he had. It speaks of the value of the kingdom of heaven. Now this parable as well, if the first parable teaches us to value the kingdom of heaven, that it is worth giving up everything, it's worth living our lives for it, this parable teaches us that when we talk about the kingdom of God, if we are to value it, the kingdom man considers us of great value. If you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, you're part of the kingdom of God, and the king considers us of great value. Now, the reason we are part of God's kingdom, the reason we get to be part of it, is pretty much like that merchant looking for that pearl. God sought us first. Okay, the Bible says no one sought God on his own. It was God who sought us first. He sought us. In fact, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. So in other words, the starting point to valuing the kingdom of God is realizing how much God values us. If naglisot na sa pag-value sa kingdom of God, sa pag-live our lives, to put value, to be good citizens of the kingdom of God. We don't want to do that. Parang disut man, I want to enjoy the pleasures of the world. Okay, parang lingaw dere. If we are in that situation, if we feel like trading our faith to what is easy, to what the world is offering, much like Adam and Eve traded what they had with the temptation of the serpent, the starting point is to realize how much God loves us. If we want to be able to embrace and know the value of the kingdom of God, know how much God loves you. Know how much God values you. Much like that merchant valued that pearl, who was willing to give up or sell all that he had just to acquire that one pearl. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How much does God value us? He was willing to give his one and only son. For us all. For us to be saved. But sometimes when we buy something, we want to make sure nga it's as cheap as possible. Diba? We want to make sure nga dili kayo costly sa ato. Hence, that's why we love sale. Samot na kung 70%, 90% sale if you're walking sa mall. Parang, uy, grabe ni. We want to make sure it costs us the least when we want to buy or acquire something. But in this story, in this parable, the merchant didn't care about discount. It didn't mention the verse nga, and the merchant about bargaining with the seller, okay? Upon waiting for a 99 discount for that season. No, it just says, upon seeing that great pearl of worth, he sold all that he had and bought it. Same thing with God. He did not spare his own son, Jesus. We just did communion a while ago. We were reminded that over 2,000 years ago, Christ came to this world, died on a cross for our sins, so that we may be forgiven completely, so that we may have a new life. so that we may be saved. All of that was made possible. God let that all happen for our benefit. Kung sa business pa, spared no expense. He was willing to pay the cost. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." If ever you thought na, oh nga no, Christ died for me, pero worth it naman ko. I did this, I did that. Buta naman ko nga tao. Di ko, pero stupad na ako dito sa church. But here's the thing. While we were still sinners, while we were at our worst, okay? Imagine the worst things that you did. Imagine those things, the worst things, the worst things you said, did, thought of. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Usually when people die for something, it's because of a good quality of something or someone or someplace. But when you talk about martyrs, martyrs for a nation or for a movement or for people, they die for the love of something because it's something that they love, some good quality. But here in this verse, it doesn't talk of any good quality or good merit on our part that, no, that's why Jesus died for us. But no, while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, while there was nothing in us that we could boast about and say we were worth it of His sacrifice, Christ still died for us. You want to know how valued you are, church? Christ was willing to die for you, even when you were not worth it. You were not worth a single drop of blood ni Christ. You were not worth Him being nailed on that cross. You're not worth Him being rejected, not just by people, but while He was on the cross, He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He embraced, He experienced the full, holy wrath of God, which should have been on us. And yet He experienced it all for us. That's how much God loves us. He was willing to let all of this happen. Timothy Keller says, "You are more wicked than you ever believed, but at the same time, you are more loved and accepted than you ever dared hope." To all of us here today, you're a Christian, you're a believer of Christ. It is such a privilege to be part of the kingdom of God, to be the citizens of God's kingdom. Again, we are part of God's kingdom if His rule and reign is expressed in our lives. So if you're here today trying to do your best to live a life that honors God, even with all the difficulties, the challenges, the temptations the world is offering you, know this, that all that you're enduring for Christ's sake is not in vain. In fact, it is worth it. Every suffering, every tear, every hardship that we experience for the sake of Christ is worth it because, again, the kingdom of God is a treasure of incomparable value that we would be willing to give up in order to see it or experience it. Everything else is less valuable because of the exceeding preciousness of Christ and His kingdom. I want to share a little bit of these verses from Paul. If you talk about hardships for the sake of Jesus, if there's one person in the Bible who could boast about how much he was willing to suffer for Jesus' sake and say it was all worth it, it is the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3 verse 7 says here, "Whatever gain I had," you see, the Apostle Paul, before he became a believer, he was a Pharisee. He was a Roman citizen, meaning this guy had status, he's a citizen of Rome, so okay, wala siya giapi. He could have lived a safe, comfortable life with all his achievements and all of those things, but he chose to be a missionary. He chose to be a follower of Christ. And this is what he said, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." It says here in verse 8, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Everything is a loss. Everything doesn't matter because there's something that's surpassingly more valuable. It's knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. "For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as," what? As sayang? It says here, "count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Can you imagine that? The Apostle Paul says, everything else that I've lost, it's rubbish. Okay na mawala to. It's nothing to compare to what I've gained. the surpassing knowledge of Christ. It's like if someone were to offer you a Ferrari right now in exchange for 500 pesos. When you hear, believe that that's a pretty good deal. 500? Di ka na makapalit bike, anong 500? How much more Ferrari you offer sa imo? Kang Paul, doesn't matter what sufferings I've experienced, the things I've lost, the enjoyments, the opportunities I've missed out, but all for the sake of knowing Christ and walking with Christ. That's more valuable. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Now, before I end, I want to leave this point to us, and that is, if we're talking about the value of God's kingdom, if you're here today, you're a believer, what can we take home and basically apply in our lives? I want to leave you with this point. Don't trade away something of eternal value for something temporal and something counterfeit. When you say counterfeit, fake. Something that doesn't come close to what God offers. You see, that is what all temptation in the world offers. Something counterfeit, something temporal. We're looking for love. We're looking for joy. We're looking for acceptance, for pleasure, for satisfaction. All of that is genuinely found in Christ, in His kingdom. Anything that the world offers does not compete with that. It is temporal. It is cheap. It is counterfeit. Again, going back to what Paul said, whatever gain I had, counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all the other things that we're believing for, hoping for, will be added to you." What did it say there? Seek first the kingdom of God. Mas importante ang kingdom ni God. All of our temporal worries, concerns, problems, I'm not saying na dili siya importante. Those are, you can have grave, important problems, but seek first His kingdom. Put value over His kingdom, over everything else. And all of those things will be added to us. All of those things will follow. Seek first His kingdom, church, because it is an incomparable treasure and nothing comes close to it. And being part of God's kingdom, it is a privilege to be part of it.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.